Look at chapter 5 of the same John. Of the first John, chapter 5 of the first John. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. Meaning, there is a difference between him that begat and him that is begotten. So God and Jesus are different. But because Jesus is the Son of God, he is also God by birth, by right. Is this difficulty in believing that there is God that created Islam? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. That means the highest a human being can be is a messenger of God, a servant of God. For God has neither father, nor mother, no uncle, no brother, no sister, no relative. So they are actually targeting Christianity. That confession is a target against Christianity. Who believe that God has a son? So if you dare to take away the sonship in explaining to a Muslim what the Godship looks like, you have already fallen into their snare. And that is where Abel is lying down, at the feet of Islam. He thinks he is giving Islam wisdom. No, you have just fallen at their feet. For what stands you out as a believer is the Son of God. Not God, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Any Muslim that listens to me knows that he has met the person that he needs to bow down to. But if you meet Abel Damina, they will laugh. This man has fallen at our feet and he doesn't know. For he has agreed with us that God has no son. And he's calling himself a Christian. Abel Damina needs to go back to school. Amen?
Amen.
By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and his commandments and so on and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. When you don't believe in the Son of God, you don't have a witness in yourself. So Abel has no witness in himself. For he doesn't believe in the Son of God. He believes in God who became a man. He doesn't believe in the Son of God who became a man. Amen.
Amen.
He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his son. It's a record that if you don't believe, you make God a liar. So Abel makes God a liar every day when he makes it look like God didn't give us a son, or God became that son. That is why he laughs. He said, the Bible says that that thing wasn't said by Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For if you say the Father and the Son, then who is the Son? Since the Father is the one who came as the Son. You get the point? So that makes him discredit baptism, that Jesus didn't ask us to baptize anybody. Because he couldn't have said the Father, the Son, because he's like what the Rasta man say, I and I. Yeah, I and I, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Then they will hear the crank attack. I and I. Ew. I and I. You know what I'm saying? So what he wants us to say is I and I. God and God. You know what I'm saying? So God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Spirit. That's Rastaman's teaching. That's the teaching of the majesty. Give us the teaching of the majesty. Are we no one, no other philosophy? That's the teaching. Rastafari, come. That is what Abel Damina is teaching in the church. Rastafari, madman. That is why he agreed he's a madman, because spiritually he's bearing dreadlocks. Physically, he's wearing bald head, but spiritually, he's wearing dreadlocks. So when Abel climbs the stage to preach, spiritually, they are hitting him. Oh yeah, Jaman, Jaman, I man, say to you, man, there's no God but Jaman, I and I, man. And he's teaching it. It's like a Rastaman singing. And then they're smoking the wrong spirit. He goes, very funny guy. Very, very funny man. And very seriously funny. See how serious he is. And he's wrong. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God had a witness of himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar. Because he believeth not that record that God gave his Son. And this is a record that God had given us eternal life. Who is the Son? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son, not in him. What did we get in the Son of God? Eternal life. And he that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. Abel Damina had not life. He's not born again. If he was born again, he is not born again. For he does not believe that Jesus, the Son of God, is different from God. We don't have to say, I know him, sir. He's a very good pastor. No. Don't get too harsh now. Don't get too personal. I know he made a mistake. Call him on the phone. Call him on the phone and tell him. Did he call others on the phone? He's on the internet. The internet is now our church. Yeah? We don't mind our business again. He cannot find access to the church to teach this rubbish he is teaching. So he goes to the world. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eternal life has to do with believing on the name of the Son of God. It's all about the Son. It's all about the Son. It's all about the Son. Why? Because no man has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son that is in the bosom of the Father, he, God, has made him known. God made him known. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So it's about the Son. If you want to have any dealing with me, deal with my Son. My throne, I have given to him as an inheritance. He's now the CEO, chairman, board of everything. I retire. I have rested. Amen?
Amen.
I retire. So God is like, I'm a retiree. I retire. My Son will take over from me. All angels, all saints, all heaven, all earth. I'm stepping aside. My Son, take over. Whatever he says, listen to him. That is what it means. So if you don't deal with the Son, and you want to go and deal with the Father, that's why Abel Damina thinks that if you pray to God in the name of Jesus, it means your salvation is second class. Because if you are joined here with Jesus, you should be able to walk up to the Father without the name of Jesus. Can you imagine what somebody is thinking? That you have any relationship with God without Jesus. That you can even call on the name of God and not come through Jesus. That is Satan. Because Satan always wanted to bypass the Son to be as the Father. I will be like the Most High. He didn't even want to be like the Son of God. He was comparing himself with the Son. I want to be like the Most High himself. And when you hear a man speaking that confidently, you think that the Spirit of God is in him. It's the spirit of Satan. The same way, for anybody that does not love the Son, can't love the Father. Anybody that does not bow to the Son, does not bow to the Father. All that the Father hath has been given to the Son. Do you understand?
Yes,
so why don't you get pleased dealing with the Son? Why don't you like talking to God in the name of Jesus? Why do you want to talk to God in your own name? Why do you want to even come to God as you? Don't you fear? Everybody wants to come to God as Jesus. You want to come to God as you. Some people get mine though. I tell you, people get mine for this world. They don't fear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come. We know. It's not as if we were told. We know that the Son of God is come. In other words, we were witness to it. We know that the Son of God is come and had given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are hid in Christ with God. You must be in Christ first before you can be in God. There is no link between you and God. Except Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life. That is, this thing I'm telling you is the true God and eternal life. So you hear that what Jesus gave is eternal life. What a believer has is eternal life. A believer doesn't have everlasting life. He has what? Eternal life. Now let me take time and give you what eternal life looks like. You get an admission into the university to study engineering or law or accounting. Okay? The admission letter states clearly that you've been admitted into the faculty of X, department of X. Okay? To study X. You get what I'm saying? So you get the admission letter, then you now accept. You now go for the acceptance letter, which you pay unrefundable fee. And they give you the acceptance letter. You now begin to do basic clearance and all stuff. Then a certain day now come, they call that day matriculation day. Now you now get matriculation, and then you get matriculation number. Okay? All right, so you are matriculated, you have matriculation number. Now you are a bona fide student of that institution, of that faculty, and the department of that within the faculty. So you have now started school. When you learn all that you are learning, you know there is no engineering anywhere. You know that there's no medicine anywhere. You were admitted into medical school, into the school of engineering. You were admitted to read engineering, but there's no lecturer that will ever come in the morning and say, "Today we are studying engineering." It's going to teach you a part of the total combination of courses that make up engineering. So they can say today mathematics. Today we are going to study calculus. So you have to study parts and participles of the entire courses. The participles are the subject and the courses are the parts that totally, as you are studying all those things, after 5 years, having passed those tests, your average score determines now whether your average score, which involves tests, assignments, and exams, now determine whether you fall into third class, second class, lower, or second class, upper, or first class. So if you don't take your assignment serious, you don't take your test serious, and you don't take your exams from year one serious, and then you think that in your final year, you will now read. Anyhow you score mark in that final year, they will now divide it. To arrive at where you are, that's why many people fail. Because they didn't take the education serious from the beginning. So, eternal life is knowledge. When you give your life to Christ, you are admitted into Christ, into what is like the university of God. So you start from zero level of eternal life to study the parts and participles of eternal life. So they will teach you faith. That is part of eternal life. They will teach you hope. That is part of eternal life. They will teach you what you owe God, tithe and offering. That is part of the subjects that make up eternal life. So you will have to study all these things, grow in the knowledge of all these things. Throughout your lifetime on earth, the only thing you have is eternal life. Now, when you have finished your 5 years in the university, and they have already tested you, assignment, everything, notes, everything, you've done whatever school requires you to do. You get what I'm saying? You've now been averaged, and they now know you fall into first class, second class, or upper, or second class, lower, and third class, or even pass. You understand? They now know where you fall. Okay? So now, they give you a certificate that you are now the graduate of engineering. First class graduate, second class, upper graduate, second class, lower graduate, third class graduate of engineering, right? You now become a graduate of engineering. Okay? After that has been done, you go for youth service. Then after a period of time, you now come back for what is called convocation. That is the end of your school. You get what I'm saying? So what Abel is saying is that in the day we gave our life to Christ, we both had matriculation and convocation at the same time. Now we both were admitted and graduated in the same day. So where is the point of a Christian's graduation? In death. When he has died. When he dies, he is graduated from eternal life. He now enters everlasting life, which is the love of God, which is what God gives the believer, everlasting life. When you graduate as an engineer, when you were a student of engineering, you were not a graduate. You were a student of engineering. You can't tell people outside there that you are an engineer. Because until that signature of the VC and the Board of Governors is on that certificate, all right, you are still an undergraduate. And you are not a graduate. Are you going to say it? So when you now get that certificate, and you know your level in the certificate, whether first class student or second, you get the certificate, and the signature of the VC, secretary, everything is on the certificate. You carry that certificate out of that school. You are a graduate. Okay? You now go into the world. From then on, you live the life of an engineer. You now start to practice engineering. You now start to live as an engineer. Call yourself an engineer. So what will you live for the rest of the life? Engineer. If you want to change who you are, you will come back and start from University Square One, reading accounting. Graduating, then you will now graduate as an accountant. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So now, when you graduate in death, from the school of eternal life, having learned all the parts and participles of eternal life, are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You will now be given the certificate of graduation, which is called everlasting life. Now, inside everlasting life, which is the life after death, you will be living eternal life. So what you will be practicing in everlasting life is eternal life. For everlasting life is everlasting life. There's no definition to it. Everlasting, that is what is definition. But eternal life is knowledge. So when you now enter everlasting life, you enter with certificate of eternal life. So you are an eternal life graduate, living your eternal life forever and ever and ever. That is why you must take all the subject of eternal life seriously. It's tithe, a subject in eternal life? Yes. You will study tithe. What is tithe? What you owe God. For what? For God being the owner of heaven and earth, you are breathing his oxygen. Who do I give the tithe to? The man whom God has separated unto himself. That is the Abrahamic tithe. You don't pay the tithe of the law in Christianity by giving your tithe to poor, needy, beggar. You pay the tithe of faith, giving it to the man of God that blesses your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is a tiny little aspect of eternal life. Yet, that small subject, Abel is struggling. You know how people struggle on an examination table to pass questions? Abel is struggling in his mind. Clefrodola is struggling in his mind. Study Freeze is struggling. They can't answer that simple question. You are just in a small class. You know, in school, you are good in some area. Then when it comes to another area, you say, Kai, I wish this was not part of my course. You understand what I'm saying? So these people are struggling in the subject of tithe. Inside eternal life, creation is a course. You will study creation. All right?
Yes, sir.
Inside eternal life, as you are growing, you will study creation. Inside eternal life, you will study the relationship of God and Jesus and how it affects you. So they will give you, write the relationship between God and Jesus and how do you come in that relationship. If Abel is to write that exam, he will tell you that Jesus came to do what Abraham failed to do. Abraham couldn't enter covenant with God because the Most High God, when he came down, Abraham was struck by the power of God and he lay down. So God didn't enter covenant. So God, Jesus now took the form of man and came into the world and fulfilled what Abraham couldn't do. So Abraham and God have Jesus and God have a covenant, but we are the beneficiaries of the covenant. He will write that as an essay and submit it. The teacher will mark it zero, and Abel will argue, no, I did well. That teacher hates me. You know those kind of students? In eternal life, the relationship with God and Jesus is the relationship of a father providing a lamb for himself for the sacrifice so that he can bring a blood that you and him can enter a covenant with. The lamb and him don't have covenant. The lamb and him are one. It is his son. Do you understand? You couldn't provide a lamb that can bring forgiveness of sin. He provided a lamb, and the lamb is his son. So when he killed the lamb and him are not in covenant. Do you understand? The lamb is dead. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth. See, it is not the resurrection that you believe in. It is the death that you believe in. So, as at that time the lamb is hanging on the cross, he is dead. So, the blood of the lamb is what is dripping. You now are told, you now come and say, I believe. That I believe means you and God have made a covenant on top of the lamb. So you lay hands on the lamb, God lay hands on the lamb, both of you swear, we are in covenant. Your son is the meeting point of our covenant. So the covenant is between me and God. Jesus being the blood. Provider of the blood. Jesus being the meeting point between me and God. The covenant is not between the Son and God, and I being the beneficiary, not knowing what is happening between the Son and the Father. There is no unconditional love in God. Any pastor that tells you that God loves us unconditionally is a liar. God loves us conditionally if you believe. A condition. If you stop believing the Lord, and if you keep my commandment, let no pastor tell you that God does not mind what you do, because the covenant is between God and Jesus. You are beneficiary. So you have no covenant with God. Leave Jesus and God to settle their problem where you commit sin. Do you get the idea now? That is the teaching of Abel Damina. And that is zero. For there is no scripture to back it up. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The Son was hanging on the cross. The Son had not gone to the grave. He had not gone to the preach to the people in the world of the dead. He had not even ascended to the Father to say he went and discussed the matter with the Father. No, what is presented to the unbeliever is not what happened after the cross. It's what is happening on the cross. The cross is the only thing the unbeliever sees. He must accept the cross before he start entering into any other thing. The love of God is not before the cross. It's after the cross. The cross is whosoever believeth has eternal life. After that, verse 3:16, for God so loved the world. So the love of God is after the cross. So the covenant is between the believer and God on the beast, on that animal, that spotless lamb that is hanging on that cross. So I am swearing, I believe that this is your Son, and that you are God, and He's your Son. And God says, if that is what you believe, then you are what He is. What this Son is, you are also to me. On the ground that you believe that this is my Son, and that I'm the one who provided this lamb for your sin, and that this sacrifice has taken away your sin, then you have become a son to me. So it's a covenant based on condition. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So if anybody ever come to you and say, yeah, God loved me unconditionally, even when I was a sinner, he already provided the lamb. He didn't love you unconditionally. He provided a lamb and gave you a condition. That you must meet that condition before you and him can have any dealing. So when you come into him, you are like a man who entered the palace of a king. Beware how you behave.
Yes, sir.
Know the rules of the palace. Not you think the palace is anyhow, then you run to the kitchen to go and eat. When they bring food on the dining table, you miss out on the people sitting on the dining table. You say they should bring your own food in the room, and they say they don't do that in the palace. Unless you are sick, you can't exempt yourself from the dining table. Why? Because that is where they discuss the business of the day, and they won't want you to come and say you didn't know that they discussed so and so that day. On that table is what they will discuss what this person did bad, what that person did good. On that dining table, everybody will hear it. You must be there. That is why the dining session of the royal family is very boring, because there they hear things they don't want to hear, but they must sit down. Hallelujah. So you need to learn the ways of the palace. You can't live as you lived when you were not a prince. Inside the palace that you have been made a prince. So how can you say that God's love is unconditional, so that you can live anyhow and it does not tamper with the covenant? Did you not swear that you want to be like this Son? He said, this is the Son I'm well pleased. And you swore to God when you accepted Jesus that he will be your Lord, meaning that you will shape your life like him. So how can you now live any type of life and say the blood of Jesus has availed for you? You are supposed to come into Christ and shape your life like him. For as he is, so are you. So if he is sinless, you ought to be sinless.
Yes, sir.
Not figment of being sinless. Not in your imagination, but in reality.
Yes,
so the love can never be unconditional.
Yes, sir.
It is conditional. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is conditional. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So we have one kind of group of people in this world that are tired of righteousness, tired of fighting the good fight of faith, and they want an automatic relief from the struggle. Yet they want to share in the victory. They cripple everybody's faith with their stupid teaching. Hallelujah. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen.
Amen.
You know, God is not a liar. He could have said, this is myself. This is my beloved self in whom I'm well pleased. But he said, no, this is my beloved Son. Where did this voice come from? From where Abel Damina does not believe exists. He said that his voice came from where? Heaven. Abel Damina does not believe in heaven except the one that is in our hearts. This voice came is an external voice from heaven. We heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Amen.
Amen.
Now, concerning what I just said about graduating, you may think it is me that is just using analogy and you can challenge it with another analogy. Amen?
Amen.
But we will analyze that one clearly. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.